Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
There's no one else that's responsible for our happiness. Even when I got married really young, but I used to get into it. If me and Chris were on, Chris is my husband's name, if we would get into it, I couldn't work. I would just be like devastated that whole day until I realized he's not responsible for my happiness. Make sure your confidence is in your soul, something that people can't touch. Money goes up and down. Welcome back to The Couch with Joy, y'all. And I have a beautiful guest here today who is going to be dropping a ton of gems. So I need y'all to stay tuned to the end of the show. But before we start, y'all already know what time it is. This is our time to heal, evolve, and transform together in a sacred space, okay? And I need you to pull out your journals, pull out your pen, sip your tea, do whatever you're doing, and take notes, okay? Because a lot of us aspire to be who we are called to be on this earth, and we need people to help us get there, okay? It's not just you doing it on your own. We need people to help us propel forward. And the lady that I have today is one of those catalysts that will help you go into that dream that you've been dreaming about, okay? And I need y'all to subscribe to the channel. Go ahead and do that now too. Subscribe to the channel and send this video to 5 people. Your family group chat, your siblings group chat, your church group chat, all the group chats. Drop this video in there, okay? So they can get this love that we are pouring today. All right? So today I have the beautiful, the GOAT, okay? Ashley Kirkwood. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here too. And we've already talked a little bit, but we're going to share this love with y'all. But before we start, how's your heart today?
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's really good. It's grateful.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Okay. And for the people who don't know, who is Ashley? Who are you? Who raised you too? Tell the people.
Okay. Who raised me? So I am... Man, it's hard to put it into a word. I guess I am a child of God. I feel like I'm here to help women specifically walk in a new, deeper level of like soul level confidence. Mm-hmm. And then that shows up in how you sell, how you grow these companies, how you live out your life's purpose. But who raised me is Keith and Valerie Williams.
Hey, y'all.
Those are my parents. They are amazing. They've been married over 30 years. I feel like my mom taught me confidence. She taught me how to identify if I was in a safe space or not. Mm-hmm. She taught me even down to like things that I've learned recently, like my mom really taught me how to identify jealousy, how to identify when someone really loves themselves and they're able to love you and when maybe they're not, you know, and she taught me how to speak my truth, even if that makes others uncomfortable. And then my dad taught me work ethic. He was an entrepreneur. So he built, you know, it's funny because when he was an entrepreneur, no one talked about like a 7 or an 8-figure business. Mm-hmm. But I guess since that's the terms of the day, my dad built $1 million business plus back in the day in the mortgage industry. And I just remember him always working, always being on the phone. Mm-hmm. And then I remember him never missing an event. So, you know, he worked a lot, but he was at every single event, even down to today. Like we do events at Speak Your Way to Cash. We run, and that's the company I run, Speak Your Way to Cash. So we do live events to teach sales to entrepreneurs. We're here to solve the small business sales problem. But my parents have never missed an event. We've done like 12 large events. They've been at every single one. They've spoken at almost every single one.
Oh, nice.
We do a panel on like how to scale love how to scale your business without like de-escalating your love, like how to scale both at the same time. And they're on that. We've done panels on generational wealth and they're on that. And so they're just very supportive. And then I'm married. My husband is everything to me. We got married at 22 and 23.
Okay.
After 6 months of dating.
Oh.
Maybe even. Yeah, we were like married after 6 months of dating. I think we were engaged after 4 months. And I told him after 2 weeks,
my husband.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was not here for it at all. He was just like, wow, this is crazy. And it was so funny because he told me later, like, he thought that was totally wild because he was like, I'm not getting married.
Oh, wow.
And on our first date, he was like, I'm not getting married. And I was like, well, I'll be engaged within a year. And it was for no other reason than I watched Millionaire Matchmaker. And she said on the show that they'd know after 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been like cheated on. I'd had some like, most of my relationships actually were pretty good. It was just one relationship where I was like cheated on. I was tired of playing the games. And that's why I told him I'd be engaged within a year. And sure enough, we were engaged in 6 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because 6 months scare a lot of us, okay?
That's really? Like,
what?
That's so long.
I guess in this day and age, it's kind of like you want to get to know somebody a little bit more. But I mean, when it's right, it's right.
It's different when you're a little bit, you know, you're more mature, you're more established, you have more to lose. We didn't really have much to lose. And then I had also prayed because I had, I think I had dated someone who was kind of like not who they said they were. Oh, I did. Oh my gosh. I've been married so long, you guys. I forget about my dating stories. I dated a guy for months in college, and I learned that he was lying about his name and his whole identity. And the only reason I found out was because my uncle is really big on football. And I was like, yeah, I'm dating a football player. And my uncle was like, you are? What's his name? And I gave him the name. He's like, he's not on the roster. I didn't know anything about sports. I didn't know there was a roster they could check. Child, whole different person, whole different name, had a whole nother woman with kids, multiple kids. That's so crazy. I totally forgot. See, good love makes you forget.
See?
Okay.
Good love makes you forget. And it covers all things, a multitude of things. Okay.
The first time I've even told that. But yes, I got catfished. So after that, I was like, okay, Lord, please. I need somebody I can have a reference point for. And my husband and I went to grammar school together, high school together, took the same bus. And so I was like, this guy is really who he says he is.
Right. How long have y'all been married?
12 years. 12 years. So it'll be 13 years next year. But yeah, 12 years.
So y'all, you could be somebody. Date them for 6 months and it'll last. Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid, okay?
It can. Right, right. His parents have been married. They got married at 18. My husband's parents, they're still together.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents got married at like 20, 25, 26. They're still together. And like, they like each other. Like, they date, they have fun. Like, we saw healthy relationships. And there are a lot of really good people still out there who are dating, who are looking for real healthy love. Not like just for Instagram, but like in real life, they laugh a lot. They love a lot.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Look, for real, because that's important. How do you feel that your childhood and learning all those great things from your parents shaped who you are today?
I think it's everything.
Yeah.
And I've thought about it a lot recently because when you're a coach, I know you life coach as well. So when you're a coach, you realize that you're not always coaching who shows up.
Right.
You're coaching who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're trying to coach them into who they are, really, or who they can become.
Yeah.
And so what I've learned is that a lot of my clients, when I'm like, hey, you can pitch this corporation for six figures. You can make $100,000 in one contract. Mm-hmm. You can do a seven-figure corporate deal. They're like, how? And I'm like, your voice. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, that's hard for me because I was always told to be quiet, you know, or sit in the corner or don't show up or don't take up space or don't draw attention to yourself. Mm-hmm. And right now, if you're building a business online, you need to draw attention to yourself. Attention is the first level of currency that you're going to get. So I am trying to coach them out of what they were raised to be in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents, you know, they put me in baby pageants. They allowed me to compete. That's important. I didn't realize how important it was, but like I learned how to win and I learned how to lose.
Yeah.
And I learned that I could compete with someone and still love them and be their friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like for some reason, we're like, I don't have competition. The only reason people have to say that is because their idea of competition is negative.
Yeah.
But competition is amazing. My best friends, we competed in pageants together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I lost debate. I was a trial lawyer. I tried cases for large companies. I would lose, go get drinks with the other person. I would win. We'd still be friends. Like, I don't know where we get this concept that competition means combative
yeah.
or negative
or my
messy
enemy. Yeah.
or my enemy. Yeah, it's like, no, I learned so much from people who I compete with. Mm-hmm. And it is a competition. Like at the point that it's like people are trying to choose between one or the other, mm-hmm. you're in the same industry just by business definition. It's just you all are competitors.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you all are enemies. And so all of that comes into play. So I think my parents did a really good job of just teaching me, you know, that I am beautiful, that I didn't have to, you know, I didn't have to feel like someone else winning was going to take my spot.
Mm-hmm.
And even if someone has more than me, it doesn't mean they are worth more than
yeah.
me. Like that was a really big lesson, like how to treat people who maybe don't have as much as you.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many lessons that I'm like so grateful for and that I've been more grateful for the more I grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Not having parents who were competing with you.
Right.
That's a thing.
That's a whole thing.
That's a thing. Like having a mom who's like competing against you. So just like seeing love consistently, seeing her have healthy women relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness, because, you know, that's...
It's another thing.
That's another thing.
And of course, my parents are pastors. And I think a lot of PKs end up being coaches because we've seen the good, the bad, the mm-hmm. ugly, put it all together in this pot
yep.
and help people see, hey, it's beautiful now. I know it feels bad, it looks bad, and we've learned a whole lot of things from watching our parents navigate through helping and sharing and serving the community. So those women relationships for a first lady is difficult, you know, mm-hmm. and watching my mom navigate it definitely helped me want my sisters
yeah.
even more, you know, for support. And you being a PK, how was your PK life growing up?
It was really good. You know, my parents became PKs when I was a teenager, or they became pastors when I was a teenager. And he was always in leadership and ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. I always had this sense, and this is when my mom started teaching me about like jealousy and things like that. She was mm-hmm. like, hey, be careful because a lot of people want to see you go out, smoke, drink, mm-hmm. You know, have a child before you're ready. Like they want that because it will prove to them that you're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, be careful of that. And sure enough, you know, I remember thinking like, oh, you know, she ain't talking about nothing. And I ended up on the south side of Chicago at, you know, I can't say too much because they got the hoodies, but like I ended up the south side of Chicago at this house for someone who was in leadership at the church. And I'm thinking, naive me,
yeah.
oh, leadership at the church, it's going to be a safe house. Child, they had guns, alcohol, drugs, yeah. everything. I woke up from a little nap. Her son had a gun on me. Okay. And I did not know. And he was not going to hurt me. He was playing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't safe.
Right.
And that's when I realized, dang, my mom is being for real.
Mm-hmm.
Because the little jokes and the little jabs, oh, you're goody two shoes. Oh, that's, you know, that's Keith Williams' daughter.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get her to drink. Let's see if we can get her. And then I was like very judgmental. I wasn't one
me
of the
too,
PKs
girl.
That was. I was very much like, oh, you're going to hell, little
yep,
Donnie.
That was me.
Okay.
Like, that was me, girl.
I'll yep. carry my Bible around mm-hmm. like, oh, you want to talk about me? Mm. Satan has a place for you in hell. You know what I mean? I was like, according to this scripture, buddy, yep. it's not going to work out for you.
Right.
You know, so like touch not my anointing.
Yep.
Like I am the anointed.
Yep.
Okay.
Do
like I was
profit.
Very,
no harm. Yeah,
no harm. Like it wasn't until I went to college and realized like, oh, you're not like, I feel like I held on to my faith because I liked people looking at me like I was perfect, not because I knew who God was for
mm-hmm.
myself, not because I had a close prayer relationship, not because I was walking by the Holy Spirit, not
yeah.
because of any of that. It was a fictitious relationship. Mm-hmm. And so as long as everything was right in my life, you know, I'm good. But then when I went to college and started having trials and I wasn't in my parents' house covered by their prayers in their house, you know,
yeah.
with them looking out for everything, that's when I was like, oh, you know, drinking isn't so bad. Oh,
girl,
boys aren't so bad. Oh, this is great. You know, like, and I really was like, I had a huge rebellion period. And I think it's a blessing I got married young because who knows where my life would have been. But it gave me a lot more empathy for people instead mm-hmm. of being so judgmental. It's
yeah.
like, oh, like if you don't have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit and a revelation about mm-hmm. who God wants you to be, this life gets rocky for everybody.
Yes, it does.
Everyone deals with things. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a survivor of sexual assault. And it just was like, it just spiraled me into like this whole situation of learning about my sexuality in a way that I did not want to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm very grateful for my foundation because I eventually come back to knowing God for myself, developing a prayer life, mm-hmm. developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit, having a revelation of what the Holy Spirit is. I don't even think I really knew.
Oh, we, listen, neither did I.
Of who the Holy Spirit is, how he leads us and guides us, how it's like our very present help, yeah. why it was so important that Jesus, you know, died so that he could come and be our present helper. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have any, I was just judging other people, reading the Bible, and just being like, y'all nasty because y'all having sex before marriage, right. and I'm not. Like, it was very much like that, you mm-hmm. know? And so I'm really grateful for my parents' foundation because that stuff comes back.
Yes, it comes back.
Even if it doesn't, even if you depart from it, like, it really does come back. And you're like, well, let me figure out what they was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
That was
time.
My story, too. I went to college, and I mean, I was staying at the dorms, and my whole life changed. I was like... I said, they've been doing this forever and nobody went to hell yet?
Right.
That was my thing because I was such a church girl.
Yeah.
I mean.
Left behind, like, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, make sure I didn't listen. Get, make sure people didn't get raptured. I was like, I don't see no clothes on the floor.
Everybody's still here. And when I said that to myself, like, nobody, y'all didn't go to hell? Like, and you woke up after and it was like, yeah, girl, it was good. And I was like, well, if I'm in college, still haven't tried this thing. Okay, but once I got out there, I promise you, yes, I was like, okay. I like that. I was mm-hmm. like, this is real, you know, this is different from what I know. But I ended up on my butt mm-hmm. and I actually called my parents like, hey, I need to come back home.
Mm.
Yeah, I left that dorm because it was just too much. And it was too much too soon. And I said, wow. You know, I was like, I really don't know God the way I thought yeah. I did.
Yeah.
You know, and I went back home. I sure did. Packed up all my stuff. And actually, I was at Morris Brown. They end up losing its accreditation the year I left. I was like, well, left right on time. And it changed my whole life. It gave me, like you said, compassion, empathy for people who are out there mm-hmm. who, you know, might have just tried it one time and got stuck.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I just kept thanking God, like, thank you for not letting me be that yep. person. Like, God, thank you for keeping yeah. me when I wasn't even trying to keep myself.
And like, I didn't deserve you. It. I didn't right. do nothing to deserve like, it. Like,
and I was like, you know, so I'm grateful for my parents for instilling those things inside of me. And now I get to help other people come yeah. out of those dark places where they think like, okay, I can't come out of this. This yeah. is too low. And I know God is upset with me.
Yeah.
No, he loves you. Come on back.
Yeah.
Come on back. And you can always come back home. That's the thing. You
yeah.
know? So I'm grateful for my parents teaching that as well. Okay. Because we got to... We're going to talk about you and you finding your voice. And leaving the corporate realm to start this multi-million dollar business. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell the people how you started as an attorney.
Yep.
So let the people know how you went from that to speak your way to cash.
Okay. Yes. So I was, I always wanted to be a lawyer. That was okay. like my thing. Like since I was a very little girl, I used to say I wanted to be a cardiologist, but then I took a biology class and was like, no. So then after that, I was like, I want to be a lawyer. And mm-hmm. My parents were very supportive of that. My aunt's a lawyer. And I've always just wanted to be a lawyer. That was my big dream. So then I get this job at Kirkland & Ellis. It was my dream job. This mm-hmm. firm, my starting salary was like $200,000. It was just the best firm in Chicago for litigation. I get the job. They got black car service, all these amenities. Mm. So I'm just like, okay, this is where I'm going to work.
Yep.
Finally get this job. And then I get there and I'm like, okay, I'm here. This was my goal. And I don't love it like that.
Mm.
Like, I realized I loved the money. I didn't love the work. And so I did what I recommend any client do to do anything is start with market research. I went and found, you know, there's always office gossip. So I went around and talked to all of these partners that were making tens of millions of dollars and more. Mm. And I realized the difference between them and me was they all love the work. Mm. And I'm like, okay, I can't compete here unless I'm going to love the work. And I don't love the work. And one of the partners, you know, sat me down and he was like, hey, Ashley, I was in a meeting the other day and it was kings, it was presidents, it was the CEOs of the largest companies in the world. And this woman walked in and she was a consultant. And I was like, this lady isn't smarter than Ashley. And he was like, you know, you don't really like listening to us when we tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a very independent thinker. And he was like, what we need you to do as an associate is listen to the partners. We don't want you to be going out getting business at this point. We want you thinking, because I was one of the first associates, the partner told me, like, you're the only associate who's ever come into our office on day week one saying, hey, I met with the general counsel of Boeing. Mm-hmm. I want to bring in some business. How does that look? Do I get a share of that? And they were like, nope, you don't get a cut of that. I was like, well, what I'm supposed to do? Because I'm trying to, because in my mind, I'm like, if I bring in business, then that solidifies my place. I already knew I was the only Black woman in the litigation group in Chicago. I was like, hey, I got to do something to solidify my spot. Mm-hmm. And my dad, an entrepreneur, was also in sales. And he was like, hey, he who holds the gold makes the rules. Figure out how to make them some money and your spot is secure. And I'm like, wow, that will, he was like, that type of stuff will transcend some of the racism that you may face. Mm-hmm. Be a producer. But then I found out they didn't want me to do that. They wanted me to focus on the work. They wanted me to focus on listening to the partner and all that. And I just was like, oh, okay, this isn't going to work. So at that point, when he told me that, I didn't leave right then and there, but I thought about it. Mm-hmm. Instead, I negotiated a 6-figure raise to go to another firm that said they'd make me partner sooner. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm at this other firm making more money, but I did not have the mentorship, the guidance, or the resources, or the, like, it wasn't even as established as my first firm, but it was paying me more. And I didn't like it at all. So even, and I just kept thinking, like, if I make more money, I'll feel more fulfilled. And that's not the case. So from that firm, the second firm that I went to, it was a lot more, it was a lot more of that, like, you know, implicit bias, discrimination. It was a paralegal, I'll never forget. They were like, hey, you need to go to her office because she feels insecure that you're younger than her and she has to come to your office. And I was like, well, I don't feel insecure that I have a law degree and she works for me. So maybe she should, like, I was like, mm-hmm. It's not about whose office is which, but I'm not going to her office because this woman feels insecure. That is a her problem. That is not a me problem. And this is a work problem. Yeah. So to get the work done faster, she should come into the office. Yeah. This would not be an issue if I were a white woman, you know? Oh. And so I called him out on that, which, you know, I always speak in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, I did my research. It's been 4 women of color who worked at this firm, all of whom left within a year. Why? Mm. And they didn't like that question. So then they called me into their office and they said, ma'am, I don't remember if I quit or if I got fired. It was quit, fired. It was one of them things. Mm-hmm. It's like a blur what happened in that office. But I remember leaving out, calling my friend because my husband was out of town for work. I called one of my homies from college and I was like, bro, I got to get all my stuff out of here tonight. He was like, oh, I'm on my way. You know that friend who's just down for whatever. Yep, his name is so. Beans. Like, he's still down for whatever. Like, I was like, Beans, help me get my stuff. He came, got all my stuff out. We left. I called Chris. I was like, Chris, I'm leaving this job. He was like, what? So, like, imagine my husband's like, okay, you have this job. It was 6 months in.
Yeah.
Like, you just negotiated this huge signing bonus. I had a 60K signing bonus. And I was like, fine, I'll just use that as my startup capital. Cause I was writing my first book, The Law School Hustle, at the same time.
Okay.
So I leave that job and I start my law firm, which was called Mobile General Counsel, which is called Mobile General Counsel. So I start my own law firm and then I go on a speaking tour for The Law School Hustle. And I had to hustle to do that speaking tour. So I was calling all the law schools in the area and bulk selling my book or getting my speaking fee. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really realized you can make money speaking. I didn't know that that was a real thing. Like, I was like, okay, well, I can make money speaking, but like, what, like $100? Like, I get love offerings when I speak at churches and women brunches.
We know what love offerings
are. Yeah, like, it's like a little chicken dinner.
25.
You
Thank
know?
You for coming.
Yeah, like, okay, do you want to bless the speaker today? Like, it wasn't no real money. It wasn't no leave my partner track law money.
Yeah.
But that was the first time I was making like tens of thousands of dollars speaking. And I was like, whoa, okay, maybe if I multiply it by, you know, entrepreneurs do calculator math. Mm-hmm. We'd be like, times 100 of these engagements and I'm making 6 figures. And my first goal was to just replace my $300,000 salary. That was it. Mm-hmm. And so between my law firm and speaking, I was able to do that within a year. And then I realized making $300,000 as an entrepreneur ain't the same as making $300,000 as an employee, because everybody wants some of your money as an entrepreneur. And that's when I've set a goal to, like, okay, we got to do at least $1 million. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because whatever revenue goal you have in your mind, you make it and you don't even realize you made it. Like, I didn't even realize I made my first $100,000. I didn't even realize I made my first $1 million. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who called me. He was like, girl, ain't no way you ain't made $1 million yet. All this work you've been doing, have you added it up? And that's how I found out we had crossed over $1 million in business. But it's been, you know, for the Speak Your Way to Cash really started because people were coming into my law firm like, hey, negotiate this contract. I got paid to speak $1,000. And I was like, well, before I do that, let me renegotiate the terms. Mm-hmm. And I would call their corporate client and renegotiate their terms and get them tens of thousands of additional dollars by restructuring the deal, setting up a better offer, reselling them on stuff, sometimes calling the company out for underpaying Black creatives. Mm-hmm. And that was how Speak Your Way to Cash started, because my husband was like, that's not legal services. Like, most lawyers can't do that. They can't just get people an extra $100,000. I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, and you're being underpaid because they're only paying you to draft a contract and you're renegotiating the deal, adding in licensing terms.
Getting them more money.
Yeah, like, getting them more money, talking to the other side. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you need to have another company where you teach people how to do this. And that's where Speak Your Way to Cash started from. That and people saw me getting paid to speak at colleges and corporations. And in the pandemic, when everything went virtual, a lot of speakers, their revenue went down. Ours quadrupled because we started doing virtual talks. And instead of giving clients the replay for free, we would host it on our Zoom link and then we would sell them the licensing of that particular replay. So we'd say, hey, you know, I know you have clients all over the world. You have employees all over the world. If you pay us $15,000 for the next year, they can watch this as many times as they want. You can have an unlimited use license for $15,000. And that's when we started looking at licensing and how to use it. So the pandemic was a great time because our speaking fee probably went from $7,500 consistently to $15,000 to $25,000. And that was doing it virtually. And then your packages go up when you add on licensing and you add on consulting and you add on on-demand training. So there's all of these different ways you can structure your offers. So the way you structure your offers is really important. And we learned that just by trial and error, because it wasn't really anyone that showed me how to do this.
She just said a lot. Okay. A lot of good things. What stands out the most is that you chose what you love to do over what you didn't love to do, and where you found fulfillment, you went there. And a lot of people stay for 20 years on a job that they hate because it's paying bills. Mm-hmm. So what's your advice, or what can you say to a person who is looking at this and they're like, I hate my job. It's paying the bills. My kids get to go to the school they're going to. Mm-hmm. I have this car. I can do this, but they hate it. And they're literally, their whole insides are like torn every day. What advice can you give them?
I would say, I was talking to my a cousin of mine the other day, because I was home in Chicago, and I was like, hey, you do know that people live their entire lives in a world that they hate, that they've created. Mm. And it's like, at some point you have to look around at your life. And I told her, I was like, do inventory of, are you happy? Like, do you enjoy it?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ bar products plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Like, you asked me, how does your heart feel? Like, how does your heart feel? Like, are you just going through the motions? I think number one, be strategic, right? If you do not like where you're at, you have to decide to move.
Yeah.
If you don't decide to move, you will stay there forever. You are literally guaranteeing that you continue to live the life you hate until the day you die. It takes a decision. After the decision, then you want to be strategic, because I don't recommend, there are some people who have a high tolerance for discomfort. They have a high tolerance for risk, so they can just leave their job and do whatever. People miss this part of the story. I had a $60,000 signing bonus. That money was not spent when I left that job. Got so it. That became my seed funding. For everyone else, if you have a job every 2 weeks, budget. Get on a great budget. Start investing a portion of that, whether it's 10, 20, 30% into getting coaching. Because before I made my first dollar, I hired someone to show me how this whole internet thing works. I was like, how are they making money on the internet? That didn't even make sense to me. Because I had an internet, I had an Instagram, but I wasn't making no money from it. Nobody was paying me anything from it. So I'm like, okay, how do I use this as an asset? Hire a coach. Then you want to hire a team member, because you can be at work all day and someone else could be working, pitching you for other opportunities. Yeah. And then thirdly, in the beginning of your business, do not focus on the branding. Do not focus on how cute it looks. Focus on making sales. Because if you can do that, you can reinvest some of that money back into the branding and everything else. If, you know, the best advice I got was, when you're starting out, have a black and white website. White background, black text. You start doing all them colors and you ain't got no good designer, it's gonna look a hot mess. Mm-hmm. So if you gotta do it yourself, white background, black text, keep it as simple as possible. Simple is luxurious. Mm-hmm. Complicated, no. You need a really good designer to start playing with colors and all that other stuff. And if that's not your thing, don't do that. But start making sales, start putting yourself out there. And, you know, you can't, if you're not happy, that's on you. Like, there's no one else that's responsible for our happiness. Even when I got married really young, but I used to get into, if me and Chris were on, Chris is my husband's name, if we would get into it, I couldn't work. I would just be like devastated that whole day, until I realized he's not responsible for my happiness. Like, we could be having a little tiff and I could still be good at work.
Yeah.
Like, I can literally self-regulate. So I think once I took ownership over my own happiness, that freed me to go and do the things that I like. Mm-hmm. Even right now, we do Speak Your Rate of Cash. I still have my law firm, but guess what? That may change. Like, there may be another assignment on my life. There may be another thing that I'm supposed to do. And if this ever starts to make me feel trapped or stuck or any of those things, I'm going to keep evolving.
Yeah.
Like, give yourself permission to evolve. And if you have kids, it's even more important. Because I want my daughter, I don't want to tell my daughter, oh, you could do anything you want, and she never sees me do it.
Yeah.
Oh, but mommy, I thought you said you wanted to speak on stages all over the world. I thought you said you wanted to own a business. I thought you said you wanted to have a $100 million company. Why didn't you try? Why didn't you go for that? Because you're your kid's hero. So if their hero, if their superwoman, if their Superman can't do it, that is literally telling them they won't be able to do it either. So you want to lead by example. You're not just going after your dreams for yourself. You're going after your dreams for all of your family. My husband was first generation to get a college degree. Right after that, his sisters got college degrees. Other people decided going back to work. Like, wow. You're an example for your family.
Yeah.
Like that, you going after your dreams is not just about you helping the world. It's you helping your immediate circle too.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Absolutely. Okay. I almost cried a little bit right then. I sure did. when you say sales, a lot of us are on the internet. A lot of us do this life coaching thing. We are influencers in great capacities, right? What do you say to the person who doesn't know how to sell? They haven't been taught, especially us church girls. We have to sit back, and sometimes it's like, what's the word? the confidence isn't there because we don't want to sell somebody something. Like, well, I mean, I'm just doing this out of love. You know, this is just what God called me to do. You don't have to pay. No, you don't have to pay me for that. Da, 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 da. How do they get out of that mindset to become a product, to become the company, to become the industry? Like, how does a person get over that hurdle, mindset hurdle?
You know, it's interesting because there was someone, we talk a lot about boundaries. Mm-hmm. And there was someone who was like, I feel really bad saying no. And I was like, well, just so you know, every time you say yes to someone, you're saying no to yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's shifting your mindset from I don't want to take anything from anyone to I'm not taking anything from anyone. I'm giving them an opportunity to engage in my services in this way, because everyone watching this probably has content for free. You may have a YouTube channel for free. You may have a podcast for free. All of that content serves people at no cost. So if they can't pay you, that's okay. They can watch your content for free 365 days a week, 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. But what you can't do is get my services for free. Sales is just a transference of belief. So whatever you believe, you transfer. Mm. If you believe fear, if you believe doubt, you transfer fear, you transfer doubt. If you believe a little bit, you transfer a little bit, you know? And mm-hmm. so if you believe that this service will help change lives, then wouldn't you go and tell someone about it? The same way we get like a new perfume, we'd be like, girl, that smells good. Where you get that from? Girl, that's that Louis Vuitton mm-hmm. Symphony. It's off the chain. It's da 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 da. So why do we do that? Because we think they want what we have and we want to help them get it. It's the same with sales. Mm-hmm. So if you really believe that your service, your life coaching, your speaking, your anything, right? Any of the services that we offer, if we believe those services can change lives, then we're being selfish by not sharing those services, especially when we have free resources. We have a podcast, we have a book that's $24. Mm-hmm. If you're an entrepreneur, you can't spend $24. I don't know how it's going to work out for you in this moment. Mm. You got to be able to invest in your, I mean, $24. I was at, my family likes going to, I almost feel bad saying it because I'm going to say, okay, they like going to this particular buffet style restaurant. I'm not a buffet person particularly, mm-hmm. but they like going there. It was $27 to eat all you can eat at this little mm-hmm. buffet. Everybody and their mom, they were beating down the doors to get in there. I'm in there like a tourist. I'm like, I can't believe it is so packed in mm-hmm. here. What is happening? And I'm like, this isn't even that cheap. $27, you could go and get a decent meal somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, else for $27. My husband was like, all you can eat? And I'm like, why do you need all you can eat though? You mm-hmm. don't need all the food. Mm-hmm. But literally it showed me there were people in there. I literally overheard conversations. Oh, you know, this gas is expensive. Food is expensive. But they were in there.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee some of them people come there every single week.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jordan's on, fitted down to the socks. Like people will spend money on what they want to spend money on. Which is fine. Everyone has that right to do. And I have no judgment for that. But I say that that food wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. And it was packed in there. And a lot of that food is going to make people have all types of diseases.
Come on.
And it was packed in there. And they mm-hmm. had no problem selling it. They had a line out the door. If someone could sell that, which may not even be healthy for people, may not even be good for people, may not even be the highest quality of food, and you spend all this time on these high quality services, why would you not yeah. sell that? Like, come on, you're not a payday loan store. You're not trying to take advantage of people and give them interest loans at 100% interest rate and all that stuff. So like, we need to have a better idea about what we're selling, but sales is simply transference of belief. Mm-hmm. What I believe, I can sell. If you don't believe it, you cannot sell it.
Mm. If you don't believe it, you cannot sell it. That is amazing. So your clients, the people who come to you and they say, you know what, I want to be a part of Speak.
What is your way to cash?
Your way to cash. How many clients do you guys have? Do you know?
We have a lot of clients. So we've serviced over 7,000 paying clients since we mm-hmm. started the company. At any given time, that number fluctuates since we do have a Pitch Your Way to Cash membership, which teaches that membership is it's a lower cost membership. It's just mm-hmm. to teach people introduction to sales. And then we have our events and we have a mastermind program where I coach people exclusively mm-hmm. like as their coach, mm-hmm. their business coach on sales, marketing and operations, like how to build not just the sales side up, but how to build your operations, mm-hmm. how to do your marketing, all of that. So we've serviced a lot of clients since we've started in 2019. But when they come to us, they have to make the decision of like, hey, this is the process. What is your offer? Mm-hmm. That's where you got to start. Like if you have your offer, then we can figure out a way to sell it. Mm-hmm. I call them sales vehicles. There's so many different sales vehicles you can use to sell an offer. So you could use a webinar. That's a sales vehicle. Mm-hmm. You could do webinars every week, every month. That's one sales vehicle. You can use sales calls. That's low tech. you could pitch mm-hmm. people directly via Instagram DMs or LinkedIn DMs. That's how we filled a lot of our earlier done for you services, was by pitching directly in the DMs. So there's any number of sales vehicles, but it starts with your offer. After you have that offer, you get your sales vehicle, then we have to figure out how do we scale it so that you're not the only one doing the work. In the beginning, I was selling like a $67 ebook. That wasn't going to get me on nobody's list. Mm. That was not going to help me do anything. We just renamed number 370 on the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing companies in America.
Good job.
Thank you. So that was great. But like, I think back and I'm like, I would have never gotten there if I would have kept selling that $67 ebook, because this is what a lot of people don't realize. In the beginning, I didn't have a large audience. Mm-hmm. And even now, people think you have a large audience, that means they all buy stuff. Yeah. They don't. Like, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that. So the smaller your audience, the higher the price point you need to sell at in order to make money. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have to actually be good at what you're selling. Otherwise, you'll get called like a scammer and all that other stuff. And you don't want that. Yeah. So in order to avoid that, you have to figure out what is it that I'm already proficient in that I could help somebody else do. And that for a lot of people is tough. So before the offer, you need to identify your expertise and figure out what it is that you're great at. But we've serviced a lot of clients over the years. And I think the ones that have the most success really come in and they're able to take feedback. I don't know if you've ever worked with people that are not really open to mm-hmm. feedback.
They want help so bad. And you try to help them. They're like, oh, it's okay. I got it.
Or they say, okay. I already do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think that's true.
Yep.
And so I think a lot of what we do is show people themselves.
Yes.
And that's really hard, because once you realize it's you, you can't give the blame to someone else. Mm-hmm. And there are some people that are way more committed to holding on to their excuses than they are willing to do the work to reach the next level.
Yeah.
Because those excuses are like a very cozy blanket, yes, a very cozy coat. And as long as I have these excuses, I'm safe. Mm-hmm. As long as I have these excuses, I'm not accountable and it's not my fault. But the moment you realize, dang, it wasn't the way my parents raised me. It was that I never took accountability to get really good at my craft. It wasn't the clients were horrible. Mm-hmm. It was that I should have made this thing better.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they were racist. It was that, man, I should have made sure that I showed up and showed out. I should have won more cases. I should have done. Like, once you realize whatever excuse you got, it might not only be them, mm-hmm. it might just be you. That's really difficult. And that's difficult for anybody.
Yeah.
Myself included. We've had some hard rejections recently. Like, we're always in a state of like winning and losing at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we're winning over here, but it's like, I just submitted a big a book proposal to a particular company and they rejected the book proposal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, how did this happen? And at first they just rejected it and didn't give me any feedback. And I was like, well, this doesn't make any sense. And so when they started giving me feedback, the feedback was like, hey, we couldn't see how it was different enough. And for some reason, Joy, when they told me that, I was like, this is great. Cause at least I know, yes, I'm like, okay, I can rewrite this. Yep. Like, I could make it better. I could, you know, I could fix it. But like, when you just are rejecting, you don't even know why. It's like,
it's hard.
Well, dang. Then all you got is excuses. You're like, maybe they just raised this child. Yeah. I don't know. They don't want no more black women. They got one black woman. They like, we done with black women today. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's just like, okay, so maybe, you know, I think you have to get to that place where you're like, I don't care if it hurts my feelings. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it makes me sad. Tell me what's wrong. That's even how I go to God. I'm like, God, I know I got pride. Help me. I know, you know, I could have stewarded that relationship better. Mm-hmm. Help me to have this conversation. That's why I love the Holy Spirit, because I can pray before like team meetings, before I have to have difficult conversations, mm-hmm. before I have to call somebody up. That was hard for me as a coach. Like, I didn't have a lot of experience in the coaching industry. I knew how to do the thing they were coming to me to do, but I didn't necessarily know how to call somebody up without calling them out.
Mm-hmm.
Because our profession is very aggressive. Like, there's like all kinds of lawyers. Trial lawyers are the most aggressive. We literally agree to fight with our words for the rest of our life. Mm-hmm. So the way we communicate with each other is not nice. Like, it's not, it like, we don't even think about being nice. Like, in the office, they'd be like, okay, like, I had someone tell me, throw me a brief and be like, this is some BS. But she used the words.
Mm-hmm.
And was just like, dang. And I had to be like, I wasn't like offended. I was like, all right, cool, where? Like, why? Tell me more, mm-hmm. you know? And you have to have that level of like, cool, you don't like it. I get it. What's up? But I brought that communication style into coaching, and my husband is in education. So he's mm-hmm. former assistant pastor. He's in education. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, babe, people don't like that. Like, they're not going to like you. They're not going to listen to you. He's like, it's too hard. Like, it's too mm-hmm. tough. You need to like learn how to communicate. So I had to learn how to call people up without calling them out. And that required me having more empathy, me slowing down. And I just wasn't, I wasn't there. If somebody came to me and they didn't want to listen, I was like, well, you don't want to listen. That's your business is struggling.
Yeah.
Mine isn't, ma'am. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, lady, what do you want me to do? You know, moving on. And then I was in prayer and God was just like, girl, you said you want to coach these people. Yeah. You can't just throw them away and they don't listen. Coach them through them not being able to listen. Like, hey, do you realize when you say this, what you're actually saying is, and I'm like, oh, that's gonna take too long. It's like, that's the job.
Yeah.
You know, that's the job that you sold. So that's what you have to do. And that is, it just, I'm telling you, like self-awareness, radical self-accountability, knowing who you are, knowing your own flaws, it really is helpful to helping people to get better results.
That's amazing. Before we started the episode, we were talking about the men and the women and the different mindsets that they have. What have you noticed in this work about the difference of mindsets and things?
So the guys who come to us, I think it could be, one, I come off really as a girl's girl. So like all of my content, I'm basically speaking to women.
Right.
So if it's a guy that comes to me, he knows exactly what he wants. He knows exactly how to get help. He doesn't want any of the mindset stuff. Like they're typically ready to work. And so I had, I'll never forget, I have clients do intake forms. And I had a, you know, it was a lot of the ladies were doing their intake form. I was like, who's your biggest competition? And the women will be like, oh, it's you, you know, it's somebody else, because we all speak on the same topic and all this other stuff. The guy, this one guy responded, he was like, probably Tony Robbins is my biggest competition. Like, that's probably the only one that's got me. And I remember reading it and being like, wow. Like, this is so different, you know, because it's like, honestly, whatever list Tony Robbins is on, you wouldn't necessarily find this guy's name at this point.
Right.
In the future, definitely, probably, right? But like at this point, you wouldn't find his name. You wouldn't think that like they're in the same bracket, but in his mind, they were. And that is so good because that means he's looking at the top of the market for who his competitors are instead of looking at people who are probably more like peers. And I think that it's so interesting that so many women on their forums were putting me, their coach. And I'm like, I am not your biggest competition. We normally don't even do the same thing. You know what I mean? And so it's like, okay, that's one difference in mindset that I've seen. And the second is, if I tell a guy, and it's not just men, it's people who don't have a lot of advanced degrees. So we work a lot because of my law background. I went to Northwestern Law School. I talk about that story a lot. We attract a lot of people who are highly degreed. And highly degreed also sometimes means highly institutionalized. The education system is a system. Anytime you're in a system for a long time, your thought process, if you don't do any work to keep it from being institutionalized, becomes a part of that system. And in most educational systems, it's like, hey, do what we tell you to do.
Yeah.
Follow this direct path and you'll get these direct results. A lot of the guys that we work with haven't necessarily had all the advanced degrees, PhDs, doctorates. Black women are the most educated group on the planet across all races. And what I have found is that if they have the right mindset and they come in and they're not highly institutionalized, they don't have a whole lot of degrees and all that, they can get to the bag faster because they're not thinking through all of the educational myths or truths that they've been conditioned to believe. They are just more free in that regard. And I remember when I first became an entrepreneur, I relate to my clients who have all those degrees because the first thing I was thinking was like, how are people going to see this? I can't make this post because if it has a typo, I'm going to get, you know, they're going to talk about me. You know, the standard is perfection. That's what they always used to say at my firm. The standard is perfection. The standard is perfection. But that was stopping me from making content. Not being able to show up without, you know, full glam. Like that was stopping me from making content. But it's like, you got to be presentable because, you know, you're Black and corporate. I remember my mom telling me, don't go in that job without no pantyhose on.
Listen, my mama too.
Right?
Don't so it's like, when you go in there.
How you going to do a live doing your makeup? They going to see you in your robe. Like all of the things that make me successful as an entrepreneur would have made me unsuccessful in corporate, would have made me shunned in academic institutions. And so for a lot of our clients, it's not just their gender, it's the fact that they worked so hard for these degrees that were supposed to give them a level of safety that they never gave them. And if they've invested all this money and all this time into something that everyone applauds you for, getting all those degrees, if you try something like entrepreneurship, what if it doesn't work? And so what I see a lot with a lot of the women that I work with is they will put in a little bit of effort. Because if it doesn't work, they didn't lose all their effort. Mm. But if they go all in and they put everything into it, they miss time with their kids, they miss time with their husbands, they miss time with their friends, they go all in on it and it doesn't work, it's like I gave this opportunity too much of me that I cannot afford to lose. I've already given so much of me to these degrees and they lied to me. Mm-hmm. I don't got the money. I got a PhD and I'm on food stamps. There was a big... There was a big series on that of people in New York who have PhDs who were also on food stamps because they were only making $2,000 or $3,000 for every adjunct professor job. So it's like, imagine, like I relate, I empathize with them so much that like, dang, I was told that this would be the thing that would get me out.
Yeah.
And it was a lie. I can't give everything to something else and it might not work.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's hard. Entrepreneurship is not for the weak. I say that over and over again. Like, you really got to love this and really be down for it for sure.
Yeah.
So Speak Your Way to Cash is for speakers only. If you want to speak. Okay. So explain that.
So Speak Your Way to Cash is for experts. So if you if you sell services, we can help you sell more of them, whether that be through getting paid speaking engagements or using speaking as a sales tool. Mm-hmm. Our most profitable speech was a speech where we made over $2 million from a talk.
Come on.
And thank you. And that was from me hosting my own event. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So most presidents make a couple $100,000 per speech. But if you can build community like you've done, you can host a live event and you can develop a talk at that event to sell your services in mass. It's almost like a group sales call. Mm-hmm. Everyone's there. Everyone's buying, everyone's interested, and maybe not everyone buys, but like a good percentage of people will buy. There's a process for that. And that is another way to use speaking to make money in your business. So it could be that, it could be sponsorships, it could be selling sponsorships, but it all stems from using your voice and developing your framework for getting a particular result and helping other people to do that as well. So yeah, you can make six figures just from paying, like getting other people to pay you to speak. But I think that eventually you're going to make even more money if you can host your own event and get people to pay you right there in the moment for your services. So imagine being a lawyer and having a conference with all potential legal clients and they all can sign up for legal services at the same time. Or being a life coach, having an event, having a summit, having something in person, 40% of people there all sign up to work with you at $10, $20, $30, $40, $50,000 a year. Like all of those are ways to use speaking as a sales tool. And I was a trial lawyer. So I remember being at trial and we had to convince this jury who didn't know us to vote for us. Well, what did we do? We gave them evidence. We gave them a bomb speech. We told them great stories. Mm-hmm. Those are the same skills and the same things that I use on webinars, on online challenges, and at live events to show people, hey, this is the evidence for working with us. This is why you want to work with me as your sales coach. So it's the same thing. So speaking can be used as a sales tool in a number of different ways. And we show people how to do it across the board. Probably only 20% of our clients are actually full-time professional speakers. Most of them have other service-based businesses that they're looking to use speaking to make more money.
That's fire. So yeah, if y'all want to connect with Miss Ashley, if you want to connect, her info is in the description below, y'all. Emails, Instagram, everything that you need to know about Miss Ashley is in the description. So you have an event coming up.
I do. Yeah, so Black Women people. Sell Live. Mm-hmm. So I love us. So we're doing an event. It's our second year doing it. We've done Speak Your Way to Cash Live for the last 7 or 8 years, but we were doing Black Women Sell Live, which is an event for Black women experts who are looking to sell more services. Mm-hmm. So that event is amazing. The theme is Black Women, the World's Strongest Superhero. Yes. It's in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's October 3rd to the 5th. Mm-hmm. And we have hundreds of women descending on Atlanta to learn how to sell more services and use their superpowers to do it. So many people are like, take your cape off. You don't need to do that. But I'm saying, put your cape on. Let it take you higher. Mm-hmm. Your cape isn't heavy. Your thoughts may be heavy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Your inability to delegate may be heavy.
Yeah.
And so we want to deal with those underlying issues and teach people how to sell. We're going to have sales breaks at the event instead of bathroom breaks. So people can actually implement one of the strategies live in the room and make sales. Every single last one of our events for the last 3 or 4 years, people have left with sales. Nice. Like they've made sales at the event. And so the first person to make sales gets a big prize at the event.
Nice.
But we'll be giving them like email templates, scripts to send out. Like you will leave learning more about how to sell your services and scale it.
So y'all, if you're interested, there will be a code down below. Use the code to get your ticket today. Okay? Get your ticket and be in the room in Atlanta, Georgia at, what's this? Say the name one more time.
Black Women Sell Live. It's at blackwomensellevent.com. But yeah, Black Women Sell Live. They can use your code.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So before we go, is there anything that you want to say for the audience to, you know, leave them with something that they can chew on?
I would say, you know, make sure your confidence is not in anything external. Make sure your confidence is in your soul, something that people can't touch. Money goes up and down. Like, I think we live in a society where we see people, you know, winning, or we see perfect images all the time, but just know that every win you see is literally standing on top of a sea of no's that they went through. Yeah. So make sure your confidence isn't in your money. It isn't in your job. It isn't in any of those things. Because mine was definitely in some of those things, which I realized when I left that job. Like, that was a part of my identity, but that's not really who I am. And so if you get your confidence in something that cannot be touched or easily taken, you'll be able to build the business that you love, because you'll have enough confidence to say no to the wrong opportunities and yes to the ones that you could have only imagined.
Wow. So y'all, we're putting the case back on because we done took them off. Because we've already said, God, we don't want to be one of your strongest soldiers this season. But Miss Ashley has said, put your cape back on and let it take you higher and do what you love to do and be fulfilled in this life, because you create the life you're living. So we're going to start taking inventory. We're going to start changing our mindset. We can make millions of dollars by using our voice and doing what we love to do. So y'all, I hope that this episode has helped you as much as it's helped me. And thank you so much for coming to the couch and dropping this love on us. Seriously, thank you so much. So y'all, all the information is down below. Tap in, be at this summit. Black women who sell everything, okay? Y'all need to be in the room, okay? So until next time, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, there's always room for you right here on the couch. Peace.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.